You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. It's good to be back here on the podcast. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hope they're doing great.
I hope they are too. No, I was going to make a Knicks comment, but we're going to save that for Wire to Wire. You can go ahead and check that out also. It's time.
Let's do it.
It's time to
rate that Arizona.
Oh,
we got it.
Yo, is it like as we're saying it, does it come up?
Yeah.
I haven't watched
it. Yeah, it does.
I don't like, I'm not one of those like weird people. Sure. I'm not one of those weird people that like watches my podcast. Like I'll watch myself preach sometimes just to see what I could do better. But Harrison Butker,
yeah.
What'd he say?
I don't know. I didn't listen to the whole thing yet, but apparently he's getting some backlash.
We can talk about it on Wire to Wire. I'm down. It's sports related. Anyway, sorry to talk about sports, but just we really like sports. Ben, what do we got today?
Man, this is the one that that I'm gonna enjoy the most. I can pre-rate this if you want. This is my favorite one. This is the Raspberry Arizona Iced Tea.
Let me see it.
Ooh, that's the one right there.
Man, like again, like why?
The high fructose corn syrup.
Ah, man.
It doesn't have anything else that's like bad though.
Yeah, but it's just like 60 grams of sugar and carbs. I really want to try to. I can't find the strawberry Arnold Palmer anywhere. I'm actually thinking about personally ordering a 12 pack for myself. All right, let's see it. Okay.
So, anyway, it is time to rate that.
Wow, you guys are, that's such a treat that you guys get to watch that every time that you watch the podcast. That's great. All right, here we go. Ready? Welcome to Arizona.
I think that you can order.
Yeah, you can order a 12 pack of the Arnold Palmer. I've done it before.
You have?
Or no, I haven't done it before. I've looked it up before. Yeah, you can do it. Okay, let's check this out.
Thank you. Thank you. I wonder if they have a lot of other ones on there.
Here we
website.
Go. I'm confident I'm going to like this, so check this out. Ready? 3, 2, 1. I feel like Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm having a magical experience with something that feels like my ancestors laying their hands on me.
I feel like I just went 4 years in the past and gained 60 pounds.
Context is king. If you don't know what he's talking about, you can go back and check it out from last week.
But gosh,
Ben, let's just
so
say this:
good.
Ben used to drink two full ones of these during his work shift, and he was 250. Dude, I drank it in one sip.
I'm enjoying it.
Really nice raspberry. Raspberry flavor.
It is good.
You ever have raspberry jam?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's That's really good, right? Jam.
I love raspberry stuff.
Yeah, just raspberry stuff's really good. Yeah.
Raspberry lemonade.
So, like,
it.
I actually used to, growing up, so I was good. A grape jelly guy.
Okay.
It's just kind of what my family had. But then one day I discovered raspberry jam for the first time.
Go.
And it is so much better than grape jelly.
Go, rank them 1, 2, 3: raspberry, grape, strawberry.
Ooh, like you mean just flavor profiles in general,
just what you like the best.
Like you're not talking about Arizona's. You're talking about just
jelly.
Like jellies.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go raspberry, grape, strawberry.
I think that's the right answer.
I think it is too.
Strawberry jelly for some reason just doesn't like
hit like that.
It doesn't.
You ever have preserves?
Ugh.
Like, it's kind of just like, what's wrong with you? Why are you eating that? Yeah. Anyway, sorry if you like preserves.
Yeah, you can get a... Oh, 12 is 27 bucks?
Yo, it's $2 a can?
That's whack. Plus, you probably got to pay for shipping.
Yeah, you probably do. Oh, well. But this was really good. I really, really enjoyed this Arizona. Last week, I didn't really give the one that high of a rating. What did I?
No, I think you gave it a 6 or okay. So.
Okay. If this, no, I did give it a 6. That's right. This was solid, man. I'm having a good time. I honestly don't think that there's much to complain about here unless you don't like raspberry. There's not much to complain about here.
No.
Really solid. I'm enjoying my time. I can't really knock it because we're not really talking about health here. I just would never buy this because it's just like I have a hard time drinking any more than like 34 grams of carbs like in a drink. I can't go beyond that.
You know, you're only, you know, we're trying to be somewhere around 2,400 calories a day. You're going to have like, you know, a 12th of that. I don't even know if I did that math right.
Probably
but
not.
But just like a lot of it right now. No, you're just not going to have 220 calories like, and 60 grams of sugar
That
now.
Was my drink of it, and I'm not going to have any more.
See, it's really going to be tough for me to not go back and drink more, but I'm going to
You're gonna
do
try.
My best to
Go
refrain.
Give it to Kyla. She's out there right now.
I'll go give it to Kyla.
Yeah. Hi, Kyla. I'm going to give this...
A little bit more.
Seriously.
Just a little bit. I haven't had this in so long, man.
I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
This is my 10.
It's a 10.
Yeah. This is my 10.
I'm
not even going to give it a 9.9. Unless there's some, you know, some Arizona flavor that I haven't tried. And it would have to be the iced tea. I don't think I'm going to ever give a juice a really, really, really high rating.
I can understand that.
Unless there's some iced tea flavor that I haven't tried, this is top of the mountain for
Have
me.
You had the strawberry Arnold Palmer?
Mm-hmm. It's very good. I like this one better.
Mm.
I'm a big raspberry guy. Interestingly enough, though, I like raspberry-flavored stuff. I'm not, like,
crazy
huge into the actual raspberries. Like, I would eat
texture,
a raspberry. Maybe texture.
It's like, because raspberries are like, they're like seedy.
Yeah.
They have like seeds
no,
all,
that's
all
probably
of
it.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather eat like a thing of strawberries than eat a thing of raspberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting how that works.
Interesting how that works for sure. Kind of makes you question a lot of things.
Yeah. This is not the worst for you in terms of ingredients other than the high fructose corn syrup.
Why? I just want there to be raspberry. Like, why don't they just juice a raspberry and put it in with the iced tea? Juice it and then just like use a colander and just like.
I don't know, man. What is the high fructose corn syrup doing for this drink?
Probably making it sweeter. Like, just use. I'd rather you just use sugar at that point.
I agree.
Anyway, that's not the point of this conversation. I'm giving it a 9. Ben's
wow.
giving it a 10.
That's the highest we've rated anything in a long time.
Yeah, no, 9.5. Really having a good time. Really enjoying it. I only gave it a 9, to be honest with you, because I honestly just, like, it was really good. It didn't blow me away. It was really good. But, like, I want it to blow me away for it to be a 10. So that's where I'm going to leave it. Thanks for joining us for Rate That Arizona. We'll see you next week. Go watch the Bible teaching now. Woo. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're happy that you guys are with us. I actually asked Ben to come on the podcast today because I thought that today's topic is a great Ben topic. Because Ben is very matter of fact, and I could talk. Like, I can talk and like expand an idea like into maybe sometimes more words than I should. Ben will take that same sentence and say it in 3 words.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, if I can, then, you know, praise God in a way that makes sense. I really enjoy like forming my sentences in a way that can be clearly understood efficiently. So,
even that was great. Like that was great. Like he was just like
praise God.
It's really good. It's really good. I really like that. It's really good. Anyway,
he told me the title, and it's just great.
It's a great title. The title of today's podcast, with the podcast and with the Bible, I like to be very well-rounded. And what I mean by that is I like to talk about everything. I don't just like to talk about one topic or, you know, talk about, you know, the same three topics. I like to talk about everything that the Bible teaches.
Amen.
This is included in the Bible. Ready? The title of today's podcast, Be a Hard Worker and Get a Job. Be a hard worker and get a job. The reason why I felt to talk about this, I was reading Thessalonians the other day, and a couple of things began to stick out to me as I was reading it. And as I was reading it, I felt like, you know what? This would be great for me to talk about on the podcast. And I was like, you know what? A lot of young adults and students watch my podcast. That's pretty much the majority of the audience that tunes in. There's usually not like 50-year-olds watching, although I do know a couple that do, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But something that has plagued America specifically, I feel like people are lazy, man, especially this next generation, and that's not the way God wants it to be. No. And that's what I want to talk about. And I don't know if you would agree with that. Do you think that's like fair to say that it's like become lazy a lot?
I think it is fair to say. And certainly, like, you know, and you're not saying this by any means. Our students are so great and like, you know, really get it. But like generally speaking, more and more it is becoming more prevalent to see laziness and just like a lack of like a work ethic where like they just don't want to do the things that you're supposed to do. Like we see it, you know, in a couple different settings, but like in school settings, like, you know, maybe somebody just like, you know, you get an assignment and they just don't do it. And it's like,
or like any of them.
Yeah. And it's just like, wait a minute. You have to do it. Like do it.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, and like, and it's just like amazing. Like it's like nothing deters them. Like it's like, okay, like, well, if you're not gonna do the assignment, like, you can't, like, you have lunch detention every day till you finish your assignment. And then they're like, and then it's like, okay, I don't care. And it's just like, why such like a lazy spirit? I have 3 points why you should be a hard worker and get a job.
Can I say this quick?
Yeah, go ahead, hit it.
This is, I've been reading Psalm 119 a lot, which is just about like the word of God and the commands of God. Psalm 119:4, the Bible says, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. God didn't write everything in the Bible just for fun.
Yeah.
And just for like, you know, a suggestion. Like, oh, maybe if you want to do this, but you don't have to do that one. The Bible, and later in that psalm, it says that, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Like, God gave us this book of instruction with the, like, understanding and intention for us to keep it.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's great. And that's a great setup actually to where I'm about to go with this, because the Bible is meant to be kept. And the first point that I have of why you should be a hard worker and get a job is you were created to work.
Yeah.
We were created to work. The Bible says in Genesis 2:15, I'm going to search it up just because I feel like it. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Mm. To work it and take care of it. This is before Genesis 3. Why does that matter? Genesis 3 is the fall of man. Mm. Genesis 3, the byproduct of the sin of man was that the work of the ground would be burdensome and would become more difficult for man because of sin. But that work is not a byproduct of sin. That's work good. Is actually what we were meant to do. We were created to work and to take care of, specifically Adam and Eve, they were created to take care of the garden and like do something with your life.
It's good. I was just thinking as you were talking about, like, we were created to work. It's like, it's a natural thing. Like if somebody isn't it just from like a health perspective, if somebody isn't moving and somebody isn't doing anything, that person's going to become very unhealthy. And it's because God created us with the like intention of us moving and us doing something with our lives.
Right. I think people sometimes get the wrong idea about eternity too, where like, to your point, Yeah, we're meant to move and do stuff. And it's like, in eternity, I think people think that we're all just going to sit on lounge chairs and like just like do nothing. And it's like, we'll be serving God for the rest of eternity. Yep. It's, we were created to work, and work is a good thing. I mean, if you're working for the right thing and doing the right thing, you're going to enjoy the things that you do and the work. And it's going to be work without the hard like toil and like laborsome like stuff. And he's absolutely right. If you're not working, people that don't have a job get themselves into trouble because they have too much time on their hands and they have no direction. And that's actually in the Bible. I'll show it to you in just a second. I don't want to go there yet. But did you have a scripture you wanted to share? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you were going to get here at some point, but Colossians 3:23, I think that maybe a reason why people don't have a strong work ethic or why it's going away is because they don't love what they do or they don't understand the reason behind it, or they're just not motivated to do it. And it can be like a disconnect from understanding what the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You may be working a job or in school, and like in the moment, it doesn't seem like something that is super enjoyable or something that you really want to be doing. But you can shift your perspective of, no, this is a good thing that I'm to do for the Lord. And I'm not doing it to please another person. I'm not doing it, you know, for my own glory or whatever, but I'm going to do the best job that I can do unto God.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And something that you said that stuck out to me there is, you said people don't love what they do.
Yeah.
This is why it's so important to seek God of what you're tasked to do.
Yeah.
Because if you, I've said this many times before, you may think you know what you're going to like to do, and then you go do it and realize you're actually miserable and hate it. How many kids in today's society, their parents tell them that they have to go to college to get a degree. They pick some random degree that they just are like, oh, that sounds cool.
Right.
And then they go and start studying it. They graduate and they're like, I'm not interested in this at whatsoever. Like this like doesn't like even interest me. Like I don't even like it. Like I hate my degree. Like I've met plenty of people that have told me like, yeah, like no, like I hate this. Like I don't even know why I decided to do this.
Yeah.
And it's, that's why it's so important to find out what it is that God is asking you to do, because then when you're 30 years old, 35 years old, 40 years old, and you've been doing what you've been doing for a while, you're not going to hate it.
Right.
You're going to be refreshed and continually doing the thing that God has asked you and tasked you to do. So this is why finding out the thing that God wants you to do is so vital and important.
100%. I don't know if I was talking to you about this. I mentioned it to somebody recently. You know, if you do that, if you seek the Lord and find out what he has for you to do, it won't feel like laborsome hard work.
Right.
It'll feel like like Pastor Joey was just saying, very refreshing. And like you actually have rest in it. I was telling somebody recently, like impact stuff has never felt like now we have to go do this.
Right.
There have been times where like it's felt like work, like the spring kickoff. Yeah, that was work. Like
that
work.
Was work.
When I got home that night, I was like actually exhausted. Like I had given, like I was like physically exhausted. It felt like work, but it was like the best, like it was the best night, and it was just amazing. And so like when you find what God has for you to do, it like it's going to be fun and it's going to be great. And it's not going to be hard for you to like get into it.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of a little bit off topic, but some people that are, you know, starting out in ministry, just like myself, I'm 3 years into it, but some people that are really just starting out, watch the podcast sometimes. Something that would really help you is don't ever hire somebody to work for your ministry or allow someone to work for your ministry that isn't a hard worker and doesn't love it. Like both of those things, just because they have a talent in something does not mean that they're for your ministry. I would take 10 times out of 10, somebody that just loves helping and serving, but has like very minimal talent, than somebody that is so talented, but has a sour attitude. Mm. You don't want to be around that. No. It's just like annoying. You know what I mean? It's like when we do stuff together, like, we could be working for 8 hours at the church getting ready for an event. Like me, you, and then like the rest of our youth leaders or whatever. And we all, generally speaking, are pretty cheerful and having a good time and laughing about stuff even as we're doing it, like making jokes and stuff, even when we're like a little bit tired and like maybe a little bit like I would like to be asleep right now, we laugh and like we'll even say that. We'll be like, maybe I should just sleep on this thing right over here. Like, it's just fun.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you have that attitude, work, you know, everything unto the Lord. If you're where God has asked you to be, and you know, sometimes obviously there's going to be moments in life where maybe you might have to do something you don't really want to do. Even in those moments, have an attitude that you're doing it unto the Lord, and you'll have so much more joy and fun in doing it, you know?
Amen.
But the second thing is, so you were created to work, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is the Bible instructs us to be hard workers. The Bible doesn't just say we're created to work and be lazy workers. It actually shows us that we're instructed to be hard workers. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Unfortunately, Ben, a lot of Christians A lot of Christians are not victims, but they have fallen victim to, maybe would be a right terminology.
Sure.
They've fallen victim to a lazy, apathetic, hands-off approach to life and hardworking and getting a job on the basis of God will provide for me.
Mm.
And we'll get into that in just a second. But the reality is that there actually is a part that you have to play as a Christian.
Yeah.
And you can't just claim God's going to provide for me, but not actually do the things that the Bible says.
Yeah, right. No, it's really good. It's really good.
1 Thessalonians 4:9. Oh, I'm in 5:9. It says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. That's awesome. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own business, mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Amen. And be dependent upon no one. You have to understand that Christians should not be people that people look at and think, that is the laziest person I've ever met.
Mm.
Christians should be people that you look at them and they work with their hands. They work hard. They're willing to, in other words, you know, not, this doesn't necessarily mean to be a blue collar worker or whatever. It means to go and work with your body, like go and do something, actually like work hard. And people should look at Christians and go, wow, that person has such a strong work ethic and they're actually doing something. And this, the last part, it says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. We should not, as Christians, be people that are always constantly looking for a handout from people because we're lazy. We should be willing to work hard and do what we may. And obviously, yes, God will, you know, give send people into your life that might help you and aid you and all that type of stuff. But you shouldn't be unwilling to work in your life.
It's good. It's good. And like, why? Like, we as Christians, we're representing God. Like, what kind of a reflection is it to the rest of the world if people are looking at Christians and like, you know, you say that you're a Christian, all this stuff, but then you don't do anything. And like, you're just lazy and you're always trying to like be a leech off of other people. It reflects poorly on the God that we say that we serve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it would reflect poorly.
You're right. Absolutely. Working hard. The desire of God is for you to work hard. Go to 2 Thessalonians now, 3:6-10. I mentioned this earlier. I said that people get themselves in trouble when they don't work hard. In 2 Thessalonians 3:6, it says, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness or not doing anything and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Mm. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we may not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. Mm. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. That is such a, you know what, I'm going to keep reading this. Verse 11. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. What is this text talking about? The apostle Paul is writing here and he says, when I came to you, he goes, I worked. I actually did something. And I didn't just take handouts right and left, but I actually worked. And I did it because I wanted to show you an example that the person that doesn't work should not eat.
Yeah.
That's so true. The United States, even when it was in its beginning stages, John Smith said, he says, they that don't work will not eat. Everybody had to work in order to eat. That's such a great life principle. Yeah. If you want to have your needs provided for, yes, you can rely on God. Yes, you can believe God. But that is not a cop-out to not work and to not do your part.
It's good. It's a lack of like accountability for yourself.
Right.
Just like always, you know, depending on other people and like thinking that you have to like receive everything from other people. Like you can work yourself. It's pretty strong. Like that's a pretty strong statement. Yeah. Like if you don't work, you don't eat. But like, hey, God created us to work. That's you're right. Supposed to work. It's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Like get a job. like seriously, like if you don't have a job, and you are over the, like, definitely, I mean, I would even recommend personally, if you are a junior in high school and it's a summer, I think you should have a job. That's my take, because you should learn a work ethic at a young age. That's my opinion. Advice. But especially if you are an adult and you just don't have a job, I know a guy that did not work for 2 straight years and just didn't even care to work. Like, just didn't even care to work at all. And he just, like, sat there. He had a family, had a wife, didn't work for 2 years. And he didn't work for 2 years. And he just didn't care. And he had bills to pay and stuff. And he just didn't pay any of his bills. And then his house got repossessed. You can't even play victim at that point.
No.
That is on you.
And then they pray and blame God. God, why did you let my house get repossessed? God's saying, hey, I gave you a body. I gave you a sound mind.
Yes.
I gave you skills and abilities. Go use them and earn a living for yourself.
Absolutely. Go get a job.
That's what verse 12 says.
What does it say?
Now such persons we command and encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living.
To earn their own living.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's like you shouldn't just be sitting back and taking handouts. And like, honestly, like you can even make this application, like you shouldn't be mooching off of anyone.
Yeah.
Like just like you should do something with your life. Like go and do what God has called you to do and do it well. And yes, sowing and reaping, believing God to make up the difference. Like if you need, you know, you're working really hard and you're doing everything that you can and you're believing God for your school bill to get paid off and stuff and you're doing your part, you're working, you're sowing, you're reaping. Now you can believe God and say, okay, God, I'm doing my part. But do you know, want to hear something that's a hot take? I'll give you a hot take. I don't think God tells anyone, hey, I don't want you to have a job. I don't see that in the Bible. I really don't see that in the Bible.
Yeah, it'd be inconsistent with what we've been reading.
With what we've been reading the text. Yeah. You know, God, yeah, I just kind of feel like God told me for the next year to not work.
No.
I don't really know about that. I would question that because it doesn't really seem to line up with the word of God.
Yeah.
God wants us to work. And we see here the problem with not working too.
Yeah.
You have too much time on your hands.
Yeah. What are you going to do? If you have too much time on your hands, you might, you know, say to yourself, oh, I'm going to do so much good stuff with that time. There's a lot of time. You can run through all the good stuff. And then what are you going to do? You're going to like, you know, have enough time left over to do some bad stuff. I heard a story or not a story, but somebody that knows somebody that told me this guy who is in his late 30s and has very wealthy parents. Great. Like wonderful. But he doesn't work. He's totally taken care of. Everything, you know, paid for him. Like, nice car, nice house. Lives with his mom. boat, all this stuff. But just doesn't work. And this guy, I've heard, is like getting into some nonsense, allegedly. Is like getting into is getting into some nonsense and like just doing stuff that's like, dude, like you need to relax. I won't go into details, but like you need to relax. Why? Because he's not doing anything. Great, you're taken care of. Right. Great, you have all the money. But like you need to do something. And if you don't, you're going to get into trouble.
Yeah, it's like there's like, okay, fine. Like, you know, his parents, you know, have money, whatever. That's great. All that stuff. But what are you doing with your life?
Right.
God's called you to do something with your life too. Like, it's like, and now I don't know if they're a Christian or not. Are they a Christian?
No.
Well, nonetheless, like still, you know, obviously not being a Christian could aid in this as well. Not understanding that God has a function for their life as well. Because life is not just about making money.
Right.
It's about doing something for God. And when you go where God wants you to go, everything will be provided for you and taken care of and all that stuff. But go and do what God's told you to do. People think like, okay, I just need to find a job that's going to make a lot of money. That is not the recipe that God has for our lives as Christians. And God has a plan for your life where he has a task for you. He wants to give you that task. He wants us to put our hand to the plow and work hard, make our own living, do what we need to do with our life that God has instructed us to do. And then his hand of provision and prosperity will come on our lives and we'll watch and see as everything will flourish and we'll do great things for God. That's what God wants from us. Yeah. But sometimes it takes a little bit of work, man, to get something going. Like you know, it bothers me when people are not willing to like go the extra mile with their work. You know, like God doesn't just want you to work and like do it like half-heartedly. Yeah. You read the scripture in Colossians 2:23. I was going to read Colossians 3:17, which basically is a couple verses earlier and echoes the same thing. Work unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Like do it the best that you possibly can.
Yeah. David did that. Daniel.
Daniel,
David. Daniel 6:3, the Bible says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Dude, like, great, you have a job. You like, it doesn't have to be what you're called to do, but it's where you are right now. Do everything that you can do and steward it well and do everything with a spirit of excellence. It's something that I wish I had done. I worked at Walgreens. That's why I drank so much Arizona. But I worked at Walgreens and I could have worked so much harder and done such a better job. But like I didn't really get this. And so like, you know, especially for the students that are watching, you know, you may be working a job right now that's just a high school job. That's fine. You're in high school. But like work it well and do the best that you can do. And there's gonna be favor that's on your life that won't be on, you know, the people next to you because you're doing it unto the Lord and doing it to the best of your ability.
Right. Do your job well.
Yeah.
Do whatever it is well. And you know, you actually said, you know, it doesn't have to be the thing that you're specifically called to do. There might be a time where you are working another job and you're called to do something else.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 3, I'll read it to you. Acts 18:3, it says, Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. Paul started out when he was in the ministry working, making tents. That's what he did. He worked with his hands. And the Bible tells us in Thessalonians that one of the reasons he worked was to show it as an example. Another reason that he worked is that the church was just getting started and he didn't want to be a burden upon the other churches that were just getting started and just getting things going and stuff. Many people mistake this to believe that you in the ministry, you know, like you're just going to, you know, you'll always have like a side job and like you'll never be able to, you know, work full time in the ministry and stuff. And it's bad to, you know, make money as your sole job being in the ministry. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The same Paul that worked with his hands and that made tents and did it as an example and chose to do that, which he didn't have to choose to do it that way, but he chose to because he felt as though it was the right thing for him to do, is the same Paul that said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, they who preach the gospel should make their living by the gospel. Yeah. He's this. It's the same person that said that, Paul, the one who wrote 1 Corinthians 9. He actually even says people that are people that do the work of the ministry should make their living by the ministry. And so there's nothing wrong with having a full-time job in the ministry where you get paid fully from the ministry. But Paul specifically felt for a time to be able to work with his hands and to make his living on a side job and to still continue to go around and preach the gospel. So there is a time where you may do something a little bit different than, you feel called to be. You know, I know your Brianna feels called to be, what is it, a defense attorney or a lawyer?
Corporate attorney.
Corporate attorney. She feels called to be a corporate attorney, right? And she, I know one of her passions is to, help out with ministries and stuff, help defend the church, all that type of stuff. That's amazing. That's great. But right now she works, where does she work again?
She works at a personal injury law firm.
She works at a personal injury law firm. But before that, she worked at?
Puccinello's.
Right, she worked in a restaurant.
Yeah.
That's not what she felt called to do, but she wasn't just going to be lazy and just not do it. Well, I don't have a job at a law firm right now, so I'm just not going to do anything. In America, it is so easy to get a job these days. Swallow your pride, drive to McDonald's, drive to Burger King, drive to wherever there might be a job. If you're against fast food like Ben, go find a Chipotle or something if you want healthier food to serve, and apply for a job.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah. Just like that. It is so important to be hard workers as Christians.
It is. It is. And you'll pick stuff up, as he was saying, there could be a time where you're not walking fully in what God's called you to do. It'll come if you continue to pursue it. But during that time where you're leading up to it, you'll pick things up and learn things along the way that God knows that you need, that you'll carry into what he's called you to do.
Something that was interesting with me in my life that is maybe different for some people in the ministry. I'm a pastor's kid, so I grew up in church. My first job was when I was 15 years old. My father told me that he said, I want you to work at the church. And I think he was like, I'll pay you like $10 an hour or something like that, or like something, whatever minimum wage was. And he gave me a bunch of he had me work for Pastor Al, who's like our pastoral care person. And I remember I would work on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for after school for 3 hours from 3 to 6. And I'd come in on Saturday and I'd work basically the entire day. And I remember most of my job was ripping out these little perforated books and stuffing it into the life book. It was like a salvation card. And I would put it in, and I would spend sometimes, this is not a joke, I would spend 4 to 5 hours just ripping that out and putting that in. And, and then I would go, my dad had me, go on our planning center services thing. And I would just spend a day just going through and making sure that people's information was correct, going and just like editing and looking at it. And it was so menial and stuff like that and tedious. But what I realized that my dad was doing now is he was developing a work ethic in me. He was not going to just allow me to not do anything with my life. You know what I mean? And did I enjoy it? I did not enjoy it. I actually really did not enjoy it, but I wanted to do something. And I wanted to do something. And, as I got older, I loved to play baseball. So I just started to, give people baseball lessons on the side for stuff like that. And I what happened to me is I developed a work ethic because of it. I wanted to actually do things with my life. I knew that I couldn't just sit on my couch the entire time and do nothing. Why do I share that story? I share that story to encourage you guys to not despise the beginnings. The Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. In fact, my last point of why you should be a hard worker and get a job is work because you will never be given more if you're lazy. Work, you'll never be given more if you're lazy. The scripture says in Luke 16:10, it says, I want to read it because I don't want to misquote it because I was about to. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you cannot be trusted with the little, how are you going to be trusted with something that's bigger? So this is actually something that I watch with people that are interning with me, or people that are starting out, like, you know, in, you know, Impact and stuff. If I make somebody a trainee, which is basically somebody becomes a trainee or a leader in training when they first want to become a youth leader, unless it's a very rare case, we usually put people on a trial probation at Impact for a certain amount of weeks to see how they respond. And that's exactly the purpose, is to see, we're going to give you very little responsibility right now.
Yeah.
How are you going to handle that?
Right.
Are you going to show up to pre-service? Are you going to work hard when you're asked to work hard on the very little that you have right now? If you can't even be faithful in the very little, why am I going to promote you and make you a leader? Yeah. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
Same principle is true with God, and because he's the one that wrote this.
Yeah.
He's watching, and he's like, okay, let me see if you're going to be faithful stuffing, you know, connect cards into booklets for 5 hours before I make you the youth pastor of a church and an entire ministry. You know, with me, let me make sure that Joey is going to be faithful with X amount of kids before I give him this amount of kids.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen this with a lot of different people. I'm trying not to use myself as an example as much, because I don't want it to come across as people think, you know, that, you know, anything. But I'll be honest with you. There were times, I'll use myself in a negative point because that would make up for it. There were times where I actually was very lazy with, you know, trying to rip out the books. I became very tired. I became very bored. And I remember that there was actually a time where I realized I actually need to start working harder here, because this is like not a good work ethic and stuff. And you know, eventually I did change that, but it was something that I did was lazy. And if I would have proceeded down that path, I wouldn't have been able to be trusted by God for anything. So it's just the truth. Be faithful in the very little that you're starting with right now, whatever it is. If you're an MPAC student, if I hand you a microphone to do announcements, do them well.
Yeah.
How are you going to speak in front of crowds of people if you can't even take the time that you're handed the mic seriously?
It's good.
You
know? It's really good. It's also a form of like God's protection to not, you know, give you what you think you want right in the moment without, you know, having the opportunity to prove your work ethic and your faithfulness and like that you can be trusted. If God, you know, I can like know for sure times in my life where I've wanted certain things, you know, that weren't bad things to desire, but if I had gotten them in the moment, it would have, you know, not turned out well. And so
Absolutely.
It's a form of God's protection, the process of it. Nothing that God does and puts into place is for no reason. Like God has a purpose and a plan behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what you just said. It's for your protection.
Yeah.
God knows everything, right? And so God knows when he gives you something, how you're going to respond to it at the end of the day. But the reality is that you can't just go from 0 to 100.
Right.
You know, it's like, I've never even preached a day in my life before. And then all of a sudden somebody gives me a church that has 5,000 people in it. I'm not ready for that. Mm-hmm. I've never preached before.
Right.
God's not going to give me that because he knows that I'm not ready for it. This is why this principle is so important. And you'll show if you're ready for it. And it really actually is. That's such a great way to look at it. It really is the goodness of God at the end of the day that he doesn't just go and promote us to the top right away. Because we'll fall right on our face if he does that.
Think about like, you know, if a 11, 12-year-old kid wanted a Ferrari for their birthday. That would be a bad parent to give them the car for their birthday, you know, with the intention of them driving it right now, because they don't know how to do it. They're not going to be able to control it well. They're going to end up hurting themselves.
You're right.
And God's not going to do that for us.
You're right.
Because he's good.
I'm going to end on this scripture. For be a hard worker and get a job. Proverbs 6:10-11. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come out on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. The scripture is not certainly saying that it's ever wrong to rest or to do anything like that, because there is times you need to take a step back and rest. But it's talking about this, it's talking about a lazy spirit, just being lazy in your life. And it's 100% true in a principle that, you know, it's funny. I heard Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth say this, and it made me laugh. He said that a lot of Christians will say, you know, I don't really have anything. Like, you know, I'm just believing God, you know, and stuff like that. And he'll say, he'll go, where do you work? And they'll go, well. And he said, and he goes, a lot of Christians work for well. He was like, it must be a really big company that a lot of Christians work for and stuff, because it seems like a lot of Christians will respond with well when you ask that question. That should not be the answer. Like, if it's 100% true as well. Like, yeah, things are not going to go well with your finances, and we're not going to go well with your life if you're doing nothing.
Right.
Because it's you're outside of a scriptural principle. You're in disobedience to God's word. Think about it like that. If we're not working or doing something with our life, we're actually in disobedience to God's word, because we're just being lazy. And we were not created to be lazy people. We were created to be hardworking people. Amen. That's why it doesn't bother me. You know, people have oftentimes said to me, like you know, actually, I'm gonna use somebody else as an example. I have seen pastors that work very, very hard. And I've seen ministers that work very, very hard. And I've seen ministers that have not worked very hard. I've seen ministers that they have a 9-to-5 job. They work 5 days a week, 9-to-5. When it's 9 o'clock, they get here. When it's 5 o'clock, they leave. And that's the end of their workday. That's it. It's just, that's the end of their workday. And if anything is asked beyond that, it's like you've inconvenienced their entire life. And I need to watch, you know, like my show tonight. Like, you know, I need to go home and, like, you know, eat my food and watch my show. And so I need my me time, all that type of stuff. And listen, I get it. Like, you can have your me time sometimes, but me time doesn't have to be 5 hours of every single day of your week. Like, for real, like, seriously, me time should not be, you know, 5 hours of every single day of your week. But I've seen people like Bishop Dag Haywood Mills, Dr. Young E. Cho, people that have done great things for God, that they, like, love what they do, and they're willing to work, and they have a grace on their life that it's, like, easy for them. They just do it. And it's like, yeah, like, I'm really not that tired. Like, I'm really, like, no, I'm really fine. Like, everything is going good. Like, everything's fine. And they're willing to work and put in whatever hours are necessary to be able to get done what needs to get done. Now, these people obviously took a day to rest. They, you know, would take some time to themselves for a second. But at the end of the day, we were created to work. And if you're doing the thing and the function that God has called you to do, then you're going to have a grace on your life to be able to do it.
No doubt. It won't be hard and challenging for you to stay, you know, an extra hour if needed,
right,
when you're doing what God's called you to do. It'll fly by and you won't even notice it. Yeah.
Let me say this. People in the ministry should be the hardest working people. The Apostle Paul was an example of that. He was in the ministry. He said, I worked hard as an example unto you. People in the ministry should actually work harder than the people in their congregation. And what I mean by that is, like, you should be, like, I've heard people complain before. If, like, they work at a church and they have to work their, you know, their hours at the church, working, and they're asked to come to service that evening. Oh, but I was here the entire day. What do you think the people that are going to come tonight were the entire day? Right. They were at their job the entire day. And they were working very hard. You should not be lazier as a minister. Sometimes I think that ministers think that the higher up that they go, the more that everyone's just gonna, you know, feed them grapes and, you know, fan a feather in their face and stuff like that. And, like, it's just gonna, you know, I do less now that it's like, what? No, you actually should be working even harder as an example to people to continue to work hard. So,
amen.
I'll leave it at that. Be a hard worker and get a job. Be a hard worker and get a job. Great Amen. Title.
It is a great title.
Great title. Ben, thanks for joining me today. Oh, and man, thank you guys for joining. If you want to sow to Impact Youth, I always give you an opportunity to be able to do that.
Throw it up.
If you want to sow, what's up?
Can we go throw it up?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Throw it up. If you want to sow to Impact Youth, Ben is going to put a giving slide on the back. If you want to sow into this ministry, if you don't want to sow into this ministry, you don't have to. Nobody's making you. No requirement. But if you want to sow, the Bible says, they that sow sparingly will reap sparingly. They that sow bountifully will reap bountifully. I believe that this ministry is good soil to sow into. If you sow into it, I believe that you'll receive, and that you'll receive a harvest in due season. If you give, everything that you give today to Impact Youth is going to go directly to our Heatwave Conference, assuming that you give before Heatwave Conference, which is June 26th through June 28th of 2024. If not, it will go directly to Impact Youth. I will see to it and make sure of it. God bless you as you give, and thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.